This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. If you go to the emergency room for an illness or an injury, usually you're not asked if you're depressed or suicidal. A new study has found that screening every patient can help identify who's at risk for suicide. Even more significant, when a counselor follows up with those at risk after they leave the emergency room, that very act reduces the chance that person will attempt suicide. The study was conducted by institutions including UMass Medical School, Harvard, and Brown Universities. One of the principal investigators was Ed Boudreau. He's a professor of emergency medicine and psychiatry at UMass Medical School. He told us the screening of patients in the emergency room involved asking three questions.
The first question of our screener is, you know, over the past 2 weeks, have you felt down, depressed, or hopeless? The next question is, over the past 2 weeks, have you thought about killing yourself? And then the final question is, have you ever attempted to kill yourself? And if the person says yes, then the nurse asks, well, when was the last time you tried? And so we get a documentation of the most recent attempt.
It sounds surprising because, you know, some people you would think would just answer in kind of a desultory way, not really taking the question seriously, but just the very fact of asking these questions nearly doubled the number of people who were identified as being at risk?
Yes, that's correct. In the study, we reached about a 5.9% of all the patients were revealed to have some either past or current suicidal ideation or suicide attempts.
The final phase of this study went further. It involved following up with those patients who were identified in the emergency room, the ER, as being at risk for suicide once they left the hospital. You say that's where you found the biggest impact. Tell us what you found.
When we called the patients and helped to guide them and provide social support and problem solving, we reduced the rate of suicide attempts by around 30% over the 12 months after the emergency department visit. Patients who consented, they received telephone calls from a trained counselor from a counseling center. They helped the patient to figure out how they could find a mental health provider and work on the barriers that were preventing the person from engaging with their mental health provider, and help them with developing coping skills for when they were feeling suicidal so they had options and knew what to do when those feelings started.
So you say 30% fewer suicide attempts than previous study groups where intervention did not happen?
Right.
Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think that many of these patients who are being discharged from treatment as usual really aren't getting any kind of help after they get discharged. They get discharged back to their communities, back to their homes, back to the same situations. They don't have access to good health, mental health care. They have no one who's helping to guide them through the system. With the advising calls, they know they at least have someone they can trust who they can engage with. They have social contact, social support. And in many cases, these counseling calls acted as a safety net between the ED visit and their actual behavioral health contact. And that's a very vulnerable period, right? Right when a person is discharged from an emergency department, the 6 weeks after their visit is often considered a vulnerable period. But if they don't have a behavioral health appointment scheduled for 6 weeks, because that's often the case, then they really don't have any support.
These are bracing figures, I would think, especially for those who work in emergency rooms and hospitals, because I'm imagining somebody like you, who is now teaching emergency medicine, thinks about those people who went undetected as suicide risks in the past because the questions weren't asked.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that it's part of what is distressing. And the whole rationale for the study is that we knew this from previous studies. We knew that there were many patients who had a suicide risk that should be addressed that simply weren't getting addressed because they weren't being screened.
So what are your recommendations based on the findings of this study?
What the field needs to do is figure out how we can move forward with developing this in a scalable way. Society has a choice here. We need to figure out how we take this intervention and who's going to be responsible for it. Is this something that we as a society are going to embrace and therefore insist that healthcare organizations or insurers or some other agency take up the baton and apply this in the real world? That's something that has to be decided by people who pay insurance premiums and in healthcare settings and whether they're going to pressure those organizations to adopt this as part of healthcare.
Ed Boudreau, professor of emergency medicine and psychiatry at UMass Medical School, thank you again.
You're welcome.